Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead, and with me today is our amazing leading lady, someone that I know and I'm getting to know better. I want to introduce all of you, our listeners, to Teresa Beck, who is a partner at the firm of Lincoln, Gustafson, and Cercos. And we have a really interesting topic today. We're all about women, but today we're going to talk about the good guys, the guys that are overcoming obstacles to diversity. So, Teresa, welcome to the show and say hello to all of our listeners.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing because I know you and I have known each other for a while, and I'm always just fascinated when I talk to you about your perspectives on diversity and inclusion. And, you know, now you've started this incredible Good Guys program. And I know as a partner in a law firm, you know, the statistics are not really great, right, for women that are in high, you know, either managing partner roles or at the tops of firms. Can you give me some of those statistics? Because I know you are a partner, but you have a very specific sweet spot for women in diversity within the legal profession.
I do. It's a passion of mine, and diversity in general in business is a passion of mine. And you're right. The statistics are really awful for women lawyers, and I don't think that differs much for women in professions other than, say, nursing or teaching. It seems that in the higher levels of professions that women's advancement has kind of stagnated, and we're at about the mark of 15 to 17% women partners in law firms these days, even
wow.
though women and men have been graduating from law school in equal numbers for roughly the past 40 years. And that's only,
you know,
in terms of numbers of women and men partners, in terms of equality, not ownership percentage, which I think is quite different, and women probably lag much further behind.
Well, I mean, I know the legal industry does so much on mentoring and advising and, you know, kind of these women's divisions within firms, because I've been watching, and you are, you know, you're an employment attorney, so you probably see it with your clients on what happens with diversity and inclusion, not just with women. So I'm curious, I mean, what was the intent with the Good Guys program? And I love it. I mean, Good Guys Overcoming Obstacles to Diversity. What is this mm-hmm. program that you've started? And tell more about your passion to kind of engage men, you know, in the advancement of women, which I love.
Sure. So I have been involved with a variety of different women's bar organizations. In the legal profession, we have local women's bar organizations here in San Diego. It's Lawyers Club of San Diego, and most sizable cities have their own women's bar organization. And then there's state women bar organizations. So here in California, there's California Women Lawyers. And I've been involved at the local and then the state level in women's bar organizations for quite some time, for my whole career. And what I've noticed is a couple of things. One is the stagnation of progress. You know, we've done a lot of things. Women have been working on our skills and, you know, our interactions and a whole host of things, yet there's stagnation. And then the other thing I noticed is that when you go into the rooms of our women's groups, and I think it's the same whether it's women lawyers or women scientists or, you know, women real estate people, whatever the profession, there's usually not very many men involved in those groups. And so what ends up happening, I think, is that we develop what's kind of like an echo chamber, and we know what the challenges are that we're facing, and we know what the obstacles are, and we know how difficult it can be for women. and diverse people compared to our male counterparts, but the guys aren't hearing about it. They have no idea, I think, in many cases, about the issues that we're presented with. And so I think that we need to get the guys in the room. And, you know, I'm also involved with the San Diego Diversity Council, which is mm-hmm. a part of the National Diversity Council. And the same thing goes for diversity efforts in general, that the people that are involved in those groups are usually the diverse people. And it's the, you know, the men in charge, the decision makers, the people who are doing the evaluations, deciding who gets the assignments, you know, making the critical decisions about who advances in companies, that aren't there. And so the purpose of the program was to get the guys in the room. And so what we did, now this program was created by the National Conference of Women's Bar Associations, which I'm on the board of, and we decided to put together a program that would have a national reach and try to do something on a national level, because there's so many wonderful groups for women's issues and for diversity issues all over the country. But we all seem to be doing different things. And so we thought if we could create a really top-notch program that could be replicated by other organizations, then maybe we could all start doing the same thing. And that was the beginning of the program. And then what we did was we looked at studies that have been done about how to engage men in women's and other diversity initiatives. And based on those studies, we developed the Good Guys program. And GOOD, of course, in Good Guys stands for Guys Overcoming Obstacles to Diversity. We got some guys together also that we think are, you know, key guys to run it by them and make sure, is this something that would attract you? And so the program has a few components. One is the really cool logo, and I don't know if you've seen it, Michelle.
I haven't.
It's really cool. It was created by the National Diversity Council. So the National Diversity Council worked with the National Conference of Women's Bar Associations to create this logo, because they have that skill set, whereas the, you know, women lawyers, we didn't, which was wonderful. And so it's Good Guys, all in caps. Underneath the phrase, it has the guys overcoming obstacles to diversity. And then the Y is a tie. You know, a men's tie, necktie. And then what I think is really cool about it is, you know, just this added little bonus is I have a friend who is friends with the CEO of Jack in the Box, and he's interested in these kinds of diversity issues. And she got me a meeting with him, and I got to talk to the CEO of Jack in the Box, which was amazing. About this program and his thoughts about it. And he's one of the guys that provided input about what would be something that would engage guys in an issue like this. And it was his idea that the tie should be pink. So the tie is pink, and that turned out to be really cool, because some guys that come to a Good Guys event get it, and they wear their pink ties, and, you know, women try to maybe wear a pink scarf or something. But it's a really cool logo, and I think that's one of the neat things about it. So the program involves women inviting guys who have mentored them or sponsored them to come to the program to be honored. And that's part of the program, is honoring them, and that's something that guys like. They like to, you know, get awards. Don't we all, right?
Yeah, don't we all? Yeah, exactly.
Like, who could say no? I'm not going to come and be honored. Of course not. You want to go. So women invite men who they think can benefit from this. So, you know, I like to say it's not always, you know, the perfectly good guys. There might be guys we know that are trying to be good guys or, you know, need extra help than others. And, you know, we want as many guys as we can to get in the room. And we're happy to honor them just for being there, even if, you know, they need to work on some other stuff. So once they're there, we take the opportunity to provide them with information about a variety of things, including how to disrupt bias. And there's some recent studies that have been done from the University, Hastings College Law School. And we provide that information. Then we also have a panel of other good guys, the kind of guys that good guys want to rub shoulders with. And that's another component mm-hmm. of the program that studies show guys really like. And, you know, they like to rub shoulders with others that are, you know, important, because you know, I guess that rubs off on them.
And
then the panels.
Go ahead. Sorry, because I interrupted you, and I was like, I wanted to hear all these different layers, but, you know, keep going on the panel, and I want to come back to when you were recognizing them.
Okay. So the last piece, after the good guys panel talks about what these good guys do to help advance women and why they care, and those things, you know, as kind of role models for the guys who are there, is we have a speaker talk about how companies that are diverse all the way to the top make more money. And the studies are really quite impressive about how much more money companies that are diverse at the top make. And that's how we close it out. So, you know, not only is it something the guys are honored for doing, they can see other guys are doing, they can also make a lot more money if they work on this issue in their companies. And that's kind of the program in a nutshell. We also have a Monday morning to-do list. The idea is that guys like to have kind of a list of what they need to do, and the to-do list kind of walks them through evaluating their own company and how diverse are they really, not just numbers, but behind the numbers, because sometimes numbers can hide inequities, and then encourages guys to join a women's group and get involved and actually, you know, take some action.
Can I tell you, this is probably one of the most fabulous things I've ever heard of, and this is new for me, you know, to hear all this, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, because, you know, I mean, I'm coming back to when you were interacting. I mean, you came up with this format because you actually got feedback from men that said, I would come if you do these things. I mean, was that kind of your take on how you designed this program?
Well, there's a group, and I'm blanking on Catalyst. Catalyst is the name of the group that has actually done studies on this issue about how to have initiatives that men will get involved with. And that's what we looked at. And then, yes, of course, we did talk to kind of a focus group of men and run it by them because, you know, we, those of us who were involved in putting together the program, realized that sometimes there is a different way that guys have of looking at things. If we're not careful, you know, we might come off sounding like their mother or their wife, you know, in a negative way, not a positive way. And, you know, a variety of other things. And not to be stereotypical at all, because that's something, you know, we suffer from and we don't want to also engage in it. But I do think that there are certain ways to appeal to the majority of men, and that's what the studies speak to. So, you know, probably wouldn't be something that every guy is going to want to get involved with, but we're looking at, you know, capturing as many as we can with the science that shows what the majority of them would be attracted to.
Well, and I know your first priority is your partner in a firm, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm looking at this now with the logo. Do you guys have a website that you can share with our listeners, or is it just strictly just a, you know, one-time event? Do you guys have a website now that you have the logo or anything?
Yes, great question, great question. So the first program was conducted in San Diego in February in conjunction with a big American Bar Association meeting that we had, and here in San Diego, actually. And we also created what we're calling a toolkit. It's basically, you know, all electronic, and it's all available online. We have all of the information that any group who wants to do a good guys program needs to have their own program. And the website is, I'm going to tell you in just a minute, and I should know it off the top of my head.
Yeah, you have a logo, for goodness sakes.
I just lost some bonus points. Okay, it's www.goodguysinlaw.org.
And is there any hyphens or anything? It's all just
goodguysinlaw.org.
How cool. Now, I want to make sure all of our listeners go visit this website. I don't know if you've got, you know, any sort of, like, sign-up or anything, but what an amazing idea to engage. So I'm kind of curious from the event, what were some of the responses from the men? You know, like, when you honored them, was it an awards kind of thing, or was it just you just recognized them in general? And what a great idea to get them to the table.
So what we did, and I think, you know, there's a variety of ways to do this, but it was very moving. We took a moment after the first speaker talked about bias disruptors to ask all the men who had been invited to come to stand up and be honored, and they were thanked for all of their work to advance women. And it was just, it was lovely. It was a lovely, touching moment. But the other thing we did is we created ribbons. So, you know, so many of the events that we go to, we have the name tags, right? Mm-hmm. So we created a ribbon that would, you know, with a little tape thing, goes on to the back of the name tag that they already had. And it has the Good Guys logo on it. And it says something like, I'm one of the good guys, and then, you know, honored by the ABA and the National Conference of Women's Bar Association. So they also got to wear the ribbon. And, you know, we found that the response was that the guys were very proud. And not only that, but I've heard some stories after the fact. First, I'm hearing that other groups are going to hold their own programs, which is what we want. We want groups all over the country to have Good Guys programs. But the other thing I'm hearing are just little stories. Like, one of the guys on the panel is a big shot with a huge tech corporation that all of you would recognize. And I don't want to identify him by name, just because, although, you know, you could probably find out. But he said when he heard about this stereotypical bias that women encounter in the workplace, where we're interrupted or our idea isn't heard when we say it, but then a guy repeats it and he's heard. We call that man-terruption. You've probably heard that phrase before.
Yeah.
Man-terruption. So he said, my gosh, I've never heard of that before. And at the meeting, he was kind of skeptical. So he heard about it. He was actually one of the guys on the panel, and he took it all in. And then he went back to his big high-tech company, and he asked his colleagues, his female colleagues, is this something that really happens? Because I don't think I've ever seen it. I've never heard of it, and I can't believe it would really happen. Wow. Surely it's not happening here. And they said, are you kidding? It happens like every day, many times a day. And he was just shocked. So his eyes were really opened. And having been at the conference, he knew now, what can he do? First of all, he's aware. And secondly, he learned some techniques from the speaker about how to make sure when women have ideas that it's actually heard. And then I heard from another guy who just sat through the program, listened, and took it all in. And he took the Monday morning to-do list back to his office. And it's kind of a, you know, you check off each box, check, check, check. And it kind of encourages people to, you know, get through each one and check all the boxes. And then you're, you know, super good guy. And he did that. And as a result of doing it, he realized that there's a female associate in his office, not a partner, who has maybe been a little timid and could use some extra help. And he's been spending more time with her to help her advance, realizing that he can be part of the solution for her, that he can help her. And it's not all on her to advance, that she needs the sponsorship and mentorship of someone like him to really be successful. So, you know, we're hoping stories like that will spread and multiply and exponentially, you know, move through society and you know, effectuate some change, because we really need things to change at this point. And I really feel that men not knowing what our experiences are and not realizing what bias feels like and what it looks like, because they just have no idea, I think it's a big part of the problem. And, you know, we don't like to share because it's humiliating sometimes. I was telling someone the other day about I've heard this term called blinded by bias. And I realized in thinking about it, and sometimes it takes me a while before I make these connections, that I had an experience like that where I was going to be on a panel with a guy at a big conference, and I got to the hotel. It's in another state, and I come down to get something out of the little hotel snack shop, and that guy comes in, and he says, excuse me, miss, where's the soda? And here I am, the lawyer that's going to be talking with him on a panel. He didn't even see me. So, you know, what's going on there? I have, you know, diverse friends who have this kind of situation happen where, you know, they're at hotels. If they're Hispanic, they might be mistaken for janitorial staff or housekeeping. And I have an Asian friend who works for Jack in the Box. And she says, I work with Jack in the Box. And people ask her, which one? And she's a VP. She's a VP.
Wow.
So they assume this is this Asian female, you know, she must work at a Jack in the Box, you know, cooking French fries when she's a VP at the main office and, you know, one of their biggest people. So I do think that bias can blind guys. It can blind gals too, to our potential and to our actual skills. And so, you know, this program is all based on encouraging men to realize this so that we can start moving beyond it.
Well, and I'm, first of all, this is fabulous. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm getting ideas as you're talking, and I have to say, for our association, I'd like to see how we could incorporate a good guys, you know, into our mix. I think it's an amazing model, and, you know, the question we always ask is, you know, how can we make, you know, gender not an issue in the workplace? You know, it's just, it's get the job done, do a good job, but it always continues to come up. And so I'm curious on the panel, like, tell me a little bit about your panel with the good guys. What were some of the takeaways that came from the panel? Any thoughts on that? Because I love these stories, you know, Teresa, and I'm going, gosh, you know, how can we engage more men? You know, this is one fabulous, incredible way, and I'm finding it interesting because, you know, I've interviewed quite a few men with my book, and a lot mm-hmm. of them wanted to go unpublicized of who they were because they were, you know, really mm-hmm. being frank and honest about what they see that women do. And, you know, one of the big things that they said a lot of, and it was always kind of, you know, they versus us, was women don't ask, or women, you know, don't show their interest in getting to leadership positions. And I'm like, wow, because I hear the conversations in our association about what women struggle with. So I'm mm-hmm. curious on the panel, what were maybe some of the key takeaways that you heard, you know, from the panel? Was it any great insights from your good guys event?
There was all kinds. There was all kinds. One of the things that came up is this recognition of a stereotype, which I think kind of relates to the things some of the guys said in your book about women not asking. They talked a lot about the bias that they see, which is kind of like this man-terruption idea, but women have this sort of tightrope that they walk. We have to be careful not to be too aggressive or too timid. You know, we have mm-hmm. to strike the right balance, and that's not something that guys really have to worry about. And so being aware of how much more difficult it can be for us to make a simple ask, because we're not just dealing with asking, it's, you know, do I do it in a nice way or am I demanding? And we have to balance all of that, because there are studies that show when a woman negotiates her salary, she's not liked as much anymore. That's not something that a guy has to deal with. So I think for a lot of the behaviors that guys talked about in your book, what these guys would say is that can all be explained by the challenges that women face. And with the added information that these guys have that already care enough to talk to you about your book, about why these things are happening and how they can disrupt, you know, their stereotypical assumptions about women, then women can really take off. And the obstacles won't hopefully be there anymore.
You know, I mean, I'm loving this because I remember with one of the interviews I asked a gentleman, I mean, a senior executive, and this was in the hospitality industry, and I said, you know, I go, let me paint a picture for you. I go, because I've heard it, I've experienced it. I said, many women would address this. I go, you know, kind of like with the Lean In book that Sheryl Sandberg did, said, mm-hmm. lean in, you know. So it's like you need to voice your opinion. And a lot of men shared with me that women should speak up. You know, they should ask for what they want. And I'm like, okay, so let me give you an example. I go, here's a scenario where if I'm a woman and it's like I speak up and I ask for what I want, it's like if I do it and I'm direct and I'm, let's say, on that slippery slope between assertive versus aggressive, I go, if I do that, I go, then I'm tagged, and for, I'm sorry, listeners, but I'm tagged a bitch because it's like I'm speaking mm-hmm. up. And I didn't do it in a, mm-hmm. hey, oh, by the way, you know, would you mind if I blah, 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 and you ask the question
right.
that way. So you're right. There's a total double standard on it, and it's frustrating
yeah.
as I'll get out. And I don't know what will change the needle that way, because what I see, men say do this and women do that, and there's backlash. So there's got to be something
right.
in the middle, and I don't know what that is, but that's, I know, what you're trying to accomplish with the good guys part, I think.
Yes. I think what that is training, educating men about what the stereotypical biases are that women deal with in our professions. And once they have that information, they might realize, well, for example, the bias interrupter for that he's assertive, she's aggressive sort of tightrope is guys being trained to say, wait a minute, would I think the same thing about a man if he came in and said that way to me? And then also encouraging men to focus on the skill of the female, because so often we get evaluated based on our personality and not our skills. It's so important, you know, how we behave and are we team players and all of that. And that sometimes becomes more important than our actual skills. So, you know, learning that there's this tendency to look at our personalities rather than our skills, you know, I think with just a little bit of education that we can all do a better job helping to advance women, because there's this thing called the Harvard Implicit Association Test. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've taken it. No, I love it. Yep.
Yeah, it's really cool. And what it tests is bias in a variety of areas. And, you know, it measures the time that it takes you to associate, for example, women with career versus women with family and men with career versus men with family. And I myself, I took the test, and I've taken it multiple times hoping I would do better. But it says that I have a moderate bias against women in careers. And so to me, that's horrible. It's abhorrent. It's, you know, it's against everything that I stand for. But the thing about it is I was raised, like many of the people that are probably listening, you know, in the same generation. Our mothers stayed at home. Some of them worked. But, you know, we didn't have a lot of role models of women in careers. And so part of this is how we were raised. And so, you know, we all have bias of one kind or another. I think the key is figuring out what it is for each individual. And then with that recognition, moving beyond it so that we can have happier employees, advance more women and diverse people, and as a result of that, make a lot more money. And, you know, a wonderful byproduct is I think it makes the world a better place, because these kind of stereotypical associations that we have lead to all kinds of problems and miscommunication, you know, in education, between police and citizens. You know, it's just I think it's a big issue for society, and it has repercussions beyond the workplace to, you know, society in general.
Oh, girl, and, you know, you look at where the political state is right now, you know, I mean, just the polarizing thing we've got going on with race and, you know, so much of that. And at the same time, it's like, I think what you're doing that's amazing and, you know, what we try to do in CWI, it's like the conversations, the discussion, you know, just everybody trying to come from the standpoint of like, hey, you know, I want to be more productive. It's like, I want to be a better performer and, you know, hey, in the process, if we can make more money on it, companies and individuals, it's a beautiful thing. So I think you're onto something amazing. Amazing.
Thank you.
You know, one question I've got, and we're almost out of time, and I'm like, God darn it, I want to have you back, is what do you see as the future? I mean, you're getting interest with Good Guys. I mean, paint a picture for some of our listeners. I know we will, again, share the website, because you're saying that there's a toolkit on there if any of our listeners want to do a Good Guys program. So go to, all of our listeners,
all
Good
kinds of information.
Guys. I want to make sure they all have the website, goodguysinlaw.org. That is the website. And tell a little bit about what you're hoping for the future. Paint a picture for us of what you want the Good Guys program to be.
Well, so the first Good Guys programs are based on, you know, gender issues, women's issues. But the program is also designed to apply to, you know, any diverse organization, and it can be adapted for that. So we're hoping that groups all over the country, you know, the National Diversity Council is planning programs, the American Association of Corporate Counsel is planning programs. And, you know, we're hoping that just spreads out and we get Good Guys programs all over the country. But we also have encouraged people, especially Good Guys, to be thinking about Chapter 2. So we're talking about Good Guys Chapter 2, and we're going to pull together a group of interested good guys and good gals and think about, you know, with this great collective mindset, what does Chapter 2 look like? Because we don't solve problems like this with one program. And, you know, we're just kind of scratching the surface and getting people to think. So it's going to be an ongoing issue, and we hope, you know, there'll be chapter two and chapter three. And then, you know, in my profession, they say the number of men and women partners won't be equal until after the year 3000 in America's law firms, after the year 3000,
wow.
Which is, you know, like my daughter's 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 generation, I think. I'm not that good at math, but... You know, I'm impatient. I just think that's unacceptable. And for every woman or diverse person that doesn't succeed at the level that they aspire to, you know, there's broken hearts and lost dreams. And it's not just about how it's wrong and bad for business, but what it does to individuals. So, you know, our hope is that this will, you know, just take off and continue and hopefully one day won't be necessary.
And that's how we're going to have to end it, Teresa. That was awesome as a goal. And just know, I think I'd like to have you back again. You were delightful and wonderful, and thank you for being our leading lady. And, folks, that's a wrap, because I hope you'll be back again next Friday, as we're here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. And our live shows are on Mondays at 9 and Fridays at 2. So everybody have a great weekend. I want to share that our leading lady next week is going to be Joni Connell, and she is the president and author of what's called Flexible Work Solutions, but our topic will be on what it takes to make it in the real world of work. And I know she's an expert on that, so I hope you'll listen in. And to all of our listeners, you know, one of our biggest passions in Connected Women of Influence and on the show is to see women supporting other women. So please take a moment, you know, if you're ever in a situation, you know, be an advocate for another woman. So have a great weekend, and we'll catch you again. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.